say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to what might feel like an all too familiar episode of Hysteria 51.
How the hell would this feel familiar?
Because we are talking about reincarnation, you rube.
Right. So how would this current episode seem familiar to them, you chode?
Because it might bring back some memories of some shit. Wait, okay. Why am I defending myself to a fucking
It's like, wait. What are you doing?
You guys want to know my opinion?
No!
Shut the fuck up! You shut the fuck up, Joe Peck! Get
some
out of here!
Kids,
go
I
go
swear.
Back to the Peck deck!
Amen. Now sit in silence like he said is back to the porch or
the Peck
shed. You, Joe Peck. Fuck! I swear
to
God.
The Peck deck.
You got it right, Kyle. Right. Some people's kids. Anyway, like David tried to convey before he was so rudely interrupted by that dick, we're talking about reincarnation this week on Hysteria 51. Trying to hit my bell and it's not working. I fixed it. I'm a genius. We touched on it before. We're touching on it again. So strap in.
That's right. When we go around touching, it's time to get the straps out. And other phrases like this. And always
someone
we're,
skipped the Patreon and went straight to the OnlyFans.
we are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a branch reaching out into parts unknown, Colorado. I'm David Flora. He's Brent Hand. We have bots here. Conspiracy Bot and Coil.
Yeah, and if you are new to the show, first off, welcome. And
hi, we're sorry.
Yeah, some housekeeping real quick for you. I built C-Bot to help research and produce a show. He doesn't, and he sucks.
Thank you. Now your death will be even slower.
Right, and Kyle...
Slower than it already is? Fuck off.
I don't know that I'm going that slow. I'm skidding in.
I feel every damn thing.
Kyle, the slightly more likable one of the true... he does require a binding resolution from the UN, and I don't expect that to ever happen. That's Kyle. We're the other one. We're not so sure. C-Bot's creation. He made him as a henchman. Steady's kind of just helps around the house. He's pretty handy. He doesn't make me want to stab myself in the ears when he talks, so there is that.
Thanks, boss. Thanks, boss.
That's what you sound like when you kiss his ass.
Well, everyone's kisses some's ass. Speaking of kissing ass, David!
Huh?
What comes to mind when you think reincarnation? Where's your mind go, like, right off the bat?
India.
Yeah, kind of right. Like, cliched or not, I think of, like, Hindu and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's what I think of. I think of Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
Have you ever see that?
No, but especially. I'm familiar. You know, I think of Hindu traditions and stuff like that, you know, just because I think that's what we've been grilled through time and time again, thinking of it and stuff. But, that's not exactly what we're talking about this week, but let's give a proper definition. We're turning to the National Institute of Health of all fucking places. For a definition on reincarnation.
Of course. Turn to the government like the sheeple you are.
You goddamn right. And I'll take my sheeple check along with my shill check.
That's right. They're the ones who cut the checks, so shut the fuck up.
Mr. Florville, hit us with the definition from the National Institute of Health.
Reincarnation is the religious or philosophical belief that the soul or spirit, after biological death, begins a new life in a new body. That may be human, animal, or spiritual, depending on the moral quality of the previous life's actions.
Animal, vegetable, mineral? that is definitely looking through a Hindu lens, and they say that in them. And reincarnation is, well, it is the mainstream teachings, like you said, of Hinduism, Sikhism, Buddhism, Jainism, a lot of isms. That said, fewer, it said on there, than half of people in India in each of these groups say they believe in reincarnation. For example, 40% of India's Hindus believe in reincarnation. That means 60% are like, I don't think so.
But remember, or Kevin Crispin believes in the Beatles as the best band ever, so obviously people will believe in anything.
Whoa.
That tracks. That tracks.
C-Bots. C-Bots getting in on the action.
Hey.
I mean, wouldn't you say that it's like probably 40% doesn't believe in it, 20% doesn't know or something like that?
Well, I'm sure. I'm, and also, my problem is when you go, anytime that they do polls, a lot of people just say what they think they're supposed to say. Hmm. You know, I don't always believe polls and stuff, but, you know, who knows?
Fair.
This week, we aren't going to go down the big religious paths. Instead, we're looking at two instances of where people say they have memories of previous lives, and we're going to talk about those. We're not going to do deep, deep dives, but we're going to talk about their experiences, and I think it's going to be fun. We've talked about regression and stuff before. We want to look at this in a different lens because I think it is a fun topic. And but first, before we get to those, it is break time. And while you're listening to our amazing sponsors and us talking about those amazing sponsors and taking notes about where to go and get these badass offers like I know you all do weekly, also take a peek at the show notes for links to our merch and a whole lot more. I just want to remind you guys, take a peek down there. It's one of my pickup lines. Take a peek down there.
Under the deck, the peck deck.
We'll catch you on the other side after this message on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
David, guess what time it is? Guess what time it is?
It is time to shave and oil up.
That's later. That is later.
I just get so excited.
It's Unsolved Mysteries time.
Oh
my God. So the only problem with it is I had that as my ringtone forever back when I cared about having not just a regular ring.
Okay, no and problem so far.
It kind of now, I had it, you know, when your phone rings, you go, oh God, I love the show, every but the theme song kind of reminds me of my phone ringing for some reason. Like I've got like a twitch when it goes off now.
You've Pavloved your way into a bad response.
I do drool a lot. That is true. We're going back to the year of our Lord, 1993. Ooh. And a cat named Bruce Kelly, he's got a firsty. So, you know, we're banging on all cylinders here. This is from season 6, episode 1, The Reincarnated Submariner. Woo!
Wow.
Let's talk some Bruce. All right, so throughout his life, Bruce Kelly suffered from 3 overpowering phobias. And I don't think that, you know, it's not uncommon for people to have phobias. But a lot of times they stem from something like, I don't feel comfortable doing this because as a child I had this or that happen or whatever.
You're never around bread because didn't like a pallet of bread fall on you as a kid or something?
Yeah, I'm terrified of yeast because of the yeast slide. So he had a fear of flying, which is pretty normal, I think. And a lot of people have the fear of flying because that one they've never done. A fear of enclosed spaces, which
yeah, also another, relating to flying.
Yeah. And a fear of water, also related to flying.
Pussy.
Oh, man. I think he needs to shut up or he's going to meet some water. But anyway, over the years, Bruce said that he tried several different treatments for his anxieties and nothing worked. In quote unquote desperation, he went to see Rick Brown, a hypnotherapist who specializes in past life regression. Now let's stop.
Past life regression.
We need a past life regression button because it comes up quite a bit. Let's talk a little bit about past life regression. I've always on here talked about my issues and then you've actually done it.
Yes, sir.
And the problem I've always had is it can be very leading. And what was your experience?
I don't feel like the person that led me was telling me what to say or leading me necessarily. Okay. But it was just kind of like asking questions of what I was seeing and experiencing and having me, you know, kind of progress instead of getting stuck on details and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just always feel like it was a more of a guided dream or imaginatory session.
Like a nice writing session.
Yeah.
Or
like
you're making stuff
up.
Just
kind of like meditative and just following whatever my imagination was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than anything.
So I know that, you know, in court cases and things, a lot of times they don't allow it because it's easy for people to get a little, you can guide them and make them think and feel things that maybe not are there, whatever you want to say, yay or nay, I'm sure it has its place. We wanted to give a little bit of disclaimer, but disclaimer out of the way, Bruce is seeing Rick Brown, who says, what did he say?
He says, probably 99% of the people who come to me do not go into past lives. Probably only 1% of the people have spontaneous regressions when working with phobias. And Bruce did have a spontaneous regression to a past life.
Then he said, here's a blast from the past coming at you fast. The Beach Boys with whatever fucking Beach Boy song I couldn't come up with real quick.
With Sloop John B.
The Hulk and Ricky, Bruce, Mr. Bruce, Bruce and Rick claim that Bruce learned that his deep irrational fears were the result of traumas that occurred years before he was born.
Okay, so you're saying unlike our traumas from living for years with a homicidal robot, these came naturally?
Yeah, as naturally as reincarnation. You got it.
Noted.
And not living with a homicidal. Hey, I'm the one who lives with them. You just get them every once in a while. And that's court mandated because I made sure of it. So BK, as I want to refer to him now because I'm fat and it reminds me of food. Anyway, during one session, BK was thrust into the life of an American sailor named James Edward Johnston, as nice. You do. And Bruce said that Johnston had drowned in a submarine. He even named it the USS Shark during World War II. And get this shit. He even named the man trapped with Johnston in the submarine. Guy's name was Walter Pilgrim.
Named or made up?
I mean, that's the $24,000 question. Yeah, did he name him or did he make it up? But there's a little bit more to this, though. What were you saying there, sir?
Can I ask you something real quick?
Yeah. I'd rather you
I'm
didn't.
I'm not an expert on... submarine naming.
Yeah.
Shark?
Well.
The shark?
So, as we're going to learn, give us a minute here.
Okay.
All right. Give that a minute. Keep that shark in your pocket there for just a second.
I thought it would be like the USS Youngstown, Ohio.
I know. Like. Here's the USS. Oopsie.
the USS Escondido.
Yeah. Like. Here's the USS, Enterprise and the USS Ronald Reagan. And here's the USS Flounder.
The USS Barracuda.
Barracuda. The king, BK himself, told Rick Brown that Johnston and Pilgrim had both died at precisely 11:34 p.m., on February 11th, 1942. But here's the deal. Bruce recalls details that were vivid and specific. What did Bruce have to say?
Bruce said, "The memories were just like it was something that happened yesterday. They were very close to the surface. They came up real easily. At first, it was like I was just making it up. Like this really can't be happening.
I mean, that's not funny.
This really can't be real. I have to be making this up. And I went to the library more to prove that it didn't happen than it did happen."
Now, if true, that's some crazy shit right there. Like, if that's true and he comes out and says all that shit, that's pretty crazy. So anyway, they do some digging, which Bruce swears he had not done before any of this.
Never dug in my life.
I've never dug. I always call Julie and then I don't dig. And is it Julie in every state? That's what we call to dig here in Illinois.
A Julie?
Yeah, it's the number that they look to see if you have like lines where you're going to dig and stuff. Always call Julie first. Obviously, you're not a digger. You're right. So he says he found out.
I cannot dig it.
The name of the very first American sub lost in the war was the USS. Any guesses?
Yup. You guessed it. The USS Frank Stallone.
No, you fucking Norm MacDonald wannabe. No, that's not exactly it. The USS Shark. It was the same submarine Bruce had named under hypnosis.
So this is a legit thing.
So it really was a USS Shark. It was the first one that went down. And then over the next 6 months, Bruce Kelly saw Rick on Rick Brown, the guy who's putting him under. An average of once a week, and with each session, more and more details of his life as James Edward Johnston emerged, or at least details of James Edward Johnston's life.
Jidge.
And for shits and giggles, or to really fuck with his head in time, Rick Brown talked to Mr. BK Broiler as if he was James Edward Johnston. And Bruce said he saw himself as Johnston at age 12. His mother's deathbed. He said he had a young cousin with him named Elizabeth. She was very young and she stood with him. I think they said they were like holding hands.
Elizabeth Edward Johnston?
Yes. Elizabeth Edward James Olmos. And then other memories were like trivial, but he's like, "I always remember that Bruce wanted the heels of the bread. He always wanted to eat the heels. And I do that too." Jesus. And, you know, you remember that he said Johnston was born in February of 21, and a young man, he enrolled in the Civilian Conservation Corps in 1938. That was his place out in Tule Lake, California. It's one of those depression era government work programs where they're getting everyone working and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he remembered like the house that he'd lived in, and he could describe it. And he said that there was a dirt road in the back, and he always had to go in the back door. He wasn't allowed to come in the front door, and he always felt like he was a second class citizen and stuff like that. And so they say they checked with a ton of accuracy. As they look at this stuff, James Johnson had been in this the Civilian Conservation Corps in 1938 and 39. He was stationed in Tule Lake, T-U-L-E, I think that's how you say it, Tule Lake or Tule Lake, near the California-Oregon border. His birth certificate, boom, he was born on February 21. And he says, Bruce came with a significant amount of information that was well past being coincidental. There are too many lines of evidence that point to the fact that Bruce Kelly is a reincarnation of James Edward Johnston. Now, that's all to say, that's a lot of stuff going on. And you feel like, could he looked it up or could he not have? That's hard to say. It gets a little better. And the reason it was on Unsolved Mysteries. So in April 93, 5 years after the first being hypnotized, Bruce decided to visit Johnson's hometown of Jacksonville, Alabama. And they take him to the house where Johnson and his mother had lived. And Bruce said he experienced a strong reaction. What do you say there?
This is Bruce. Moving to the side of the house when I could actually see the bedroom, and I knew that was the bedroom, that's when the feelings really started hitting. Remembering that he used to have come in on the back street and come through the back door, the back porch, the peck deck. I remember that. I remember the feelings of kind of feeling like a second-class citizen. They were poor. She was unmarried.
Which one interesting thing is, so he was talking about coming in that back, the back street and stuff. It's not there anymore. None of that stuff's there. He's saying this, and the piece that gives the story a little more merit than some is that during the visit, and this is when the Unsolved Mysteries people were there and they brought him there, he met with several people who knew James Johnson as a boy, including his cousin, Elizabeth Betty Watson. And he believes she was the Elizabeth he saw under hypnosis, the little girl. And she didn't really remember much. She was so young at that time. But she said that he said things and they talked and like he knew things he shouldn't know. Like, oh, he liked to do this and he liked to do that. And he lived in this room and he would do this. And all the bread that he always ate to heal the bread. That was one of the things they brought up. That was kind of cool. And they were just like, this is spooky. And this was the family. And they also visited the cemetery where they had a memorial stone for James Edward Johnston. But the problem is no one knows the details of his death because they don't know what happened to the USS Shark other than it went down. They don't know how it happened. But if you believe Bruce Kelly, he swears he does as he remembers it. He says it was hit by enemy fire. In his final moments, Bruce said, Johnson and Pilgrim were struggling in the quarter of the submarine and they both drowned. Fucking yikes. Thoughts, like, what are your thoughts of the whole thing? And then when he's talking to the family and they're like, wow.
I mean, it's a great story.
Right.
I would have to have someone, I'd have to experience this for myself.
That's the problem. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just like when I tell my story, you're like, great. And I don't think you're a liar. It didn't happen to me. Now, what if he came and they said, hey, I'm your grandpa. And then they told you shit that they shouldn't know.
Yeah.
That
would probably do it. Like I'm thinking of one specific thing that happened that my grandparents were involved in when I was in middle school. And you know, if they told me details about that or something, then I'd be like, oh, okay, because...
Is this a story you told me about Uncle Fisty, or is that something different? That's different?
No, that's a different thing. That was at the, Six Flags. But I'm just thinking, like, yeah, if someone came to me and started telling me stuff and then was like, yeah, I've got these memories of this person that knew you, were close to you, and it was stuff that, no one else was around
mm-hmm.
at the time, or we were just in the truck, like driving somewhere, then I'd be like, okay, I believe that because there's no way you could know any of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah. And I think the thing that sets this one a little bit apart is, he is older, you know? And so there is always that, is he doing this on purpose? And when I say older, so the average people average, when people have memories of past lives, it's usually children.
Yeah, I've heard
that. And they usually say that they fade by age 7. And then they don't remember the stuff. And they say weird things like, well, when I was big, or that's how I died, or blah, 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 you know. And what's even scarier is it's more matter-of-factual. We're just going to get into that. It's just, what I'm saying is Bruce was a little bit different because he was older, and it came through because he was still having memories, and he... or at least those phobias, and he went for help. Break time. Let's go to break. Do a palate cleanser. Next up, we have James Leininger and his story of reincarnation. That's after these messages on H51.
After these messages, we'll be right.
We'll be right back. All right, sir. Tell us about James, if you will.
Enter one James Leininger.
Leininger, I think.
Leininger. Is it a ger or a jer? Is it gif or gif?
We're going to, you know, it's a choosy moms, choose gif.
James and his story are one of the best documented cases for reincarnation.
Yeah.
It's been widely reported and discussed in various media, all because of the specific and verifiable details provided by the child about a past life.
Yeah, David, and that's what I was talking about, is this is a little bit different because, well, this is more normal. It's a child, whereas Bruce was the outlier because he was an adult, and that's a little bit less. But anyway, you're up. Tell us about Jimmy, if you will.
So, you see, from a very young age, James Leininger
showed you say an, it slow unusual, and unsure of yourself. It's perfect every time. Leininger. I was way Samsonite. I was way off.
I was way off. He showed an unusual interest in airplanes. You know, it's not crazy. A lot of kids like airplanes, that and dinosaurs and space stuff.
And crushing their enemies. Seeing them driven before the child, and hearing the lamentations of their women.
Right. Brent?
Yes, sir.
Side note?
Sidebar.
Can you please make sure that C-Bot keeps going in the direction he's going because he's fucking right?
Right? Amen, right?
Thank God.
Crom.
Forget you, Crom.
Real quick, and we'll get back to. Did you see Clerks 3 by any chance?
I did not. No.
So you've seen Clerks probably, right? So there's Randall. Anyway, at the end, so he has a heart attack and he's in the hospital, and she's like, "This is serious. If you pray to a deity, you probably ought to do it." And he's like, "Oh man, what do I do? All right, Crom. I don't come to you much." I'm like, "That's fucking hilarious."
The anyway. One deity that doesn't give a shit the most.
It's perfect.
This fascination turned concerning when he began having recurring nightmares about being in a plane crash.
Yuck.
So he was only 2 years old, and he started screaming and thrashing about in his sleep, yelling phrases like, "Airplane crash, on fire, little man can't get out."
That's fucking terrifying.
Normal terrifying shit. You know,
little man can't get out. Screaming. The plane, right. The plane's on fire. Sorry. Anyway.
He was actually in a parallel universe where the atomic bomb wouldn't release in the plane.
We're just going to ride her down.
I don't know, Brent. And I don't have kids, thankfully, so all this just seems normal level of terror
parents
deal with daily.
I just assume kids are screaming terrifying shit at all times because... I don't want to deal with kids. They terrify me in the, you know, they'll just like look at you and be like, you're going to die soon. You're like, what? And they're like, more chicky nuggies, please. You're like, what?
Yeah.
You know, I got a robot that does that. I don't need fucking little kids doing it too.
So this James, who we're assured is not just a normal kid that is terrifying on all on their own. This one, as he grew older and became more articulate, started to share details about the plane crash, explaining that he had been a pilot and was shot down by the Japanese.
Now, kids have active imaginations, but damn, that's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you're supposed to be like, I think in your 40s at the earliest before you really like settle into the World War II nostalgia stuff.
It's, where did all these commemorative plates come from? I don't know. They showed up one day.
He said his plane was hit in the engine, caught fire, and crashed. He even named the aircraft as a Corsair and mentioned that he took off from a boat called the Natoma.
Ah, well, so, Jesus. Yeah. That's a lot of detail.
It's a bit of detail, yeah.
I mean, you know, for a kid, hey,
How
I was
old
a
is he at this point?
Young still. I don't know the exact age. We're not talking about an old kid, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 5 or 6, like starting to put together, you know, articulate himself, not like articulate as in like in his 20s.
Not articulate like he's very movable.
He has over 40 points of articulation. It's amazing.
Including karate chop action. So the parents get involved, right? And they're initially skeptical because, you know, for Christ's sakes, they slowly, it's a kid.
Yeah.
And wow, imagination. But they start to begin to research his claims.
Yeah.
They found out there was indeed an aircraft carrier named the USS Natoma Bay.
Not the USS Shark on this.
Right, yeah.
I love that out of everything, the last one, you're like, shark, that's made up. And I'm like, no, it's real. That is the real thing. Shark, and you're like, I don't like this story.
That's hilarious. I think that's great. I never knew that they actually named the sea craft cool names.
This one's the USS Shark, and this one's the USS Cool Rad Dude.
And this one's the USS Eagle Mohawk.
And this one's just a screeching sound that they play every time they show an eagle. Yeah, the USS...
The USS Tire Squall.
And, hey, Mom, I finally made my dreams. I'm the captain of the USS Z-28 Camaro.
I'm the rear admiral of the USS...
Oh, man. Nice. That's all true. Anyway.
This was my past life. Anyways... This carrier was involved in World War II.
Yeah.
Plus, further investigations led him to a pilot named James Houston Jr., who was killed in action.
Yeah.
His plane, a Corsair, was hit in the engine by Japanese foyer and went down precisely as young Lucifer Leininger described.
James.
Sorry. You're right, Kyle. Sorry. Lucifer James.
Take a breath, David. The kids can't hurt you. They're not yours. We're probably not yours.
You can fuck right off with that. That's when you let your guard down.
Yeah.
And boom. It's
next
over.
Thing you know, they're moving in. They need braces.
There's shit all over the yard.
We're not really sure how kids work, but all this seems it seems true to us. So, you know. Yeah, I don't know if you know this. You got to feed them every day. Every day.
My God.
Yeah.
They're
ass.
They're as bitchy as plants.
As you were,
anyway,
sir.
Anyway, young James Lucifer Leininger.
Sans Lucifer, maybe, or not. Who knows? Yeah,
probably. Mm-hmm. Also mentioned names of fellow pilots and details that aligned with the history of James Houston Jr. He talked about a friend from the war named Jack Larson. He confirmed... through records that Jack Larson's was a pilot aboard the Natoma Bay, and on. We're not going to go into everything, but the dude was pulling stuff out that he should not know and was spot on over and over.
Wow. Yeah.
So initially, you know, like we said, the parents were skeptical, but they became believers in their son's claims. Probably after watching Shrek, considering the specifics he provided that they believe he had no way of knowing otherwise. They even wrote a book about their experience titled Soul Survivor, The Reincarnation of a World War II Fighter Pilot. Jesus Christ, what a pun.
So then I'm going to pull out my inner John Goforth. So it's fucking cash grab. As soon as someone has an experience or writes a book about it, nope.
Cash grab.
Yeah. So...
I'm Ben Bailey. Welcome to Cash Grab.
What the hell was going on then? You know, like what's going on?
Well, you know, as with all cases of reincarnation, there are skeptics.
As all cases of insert everything, there are skeptics.
Some argue that James might have been influenced or led, even unintentionally, by his parents or others.
Kids are sponges, man. That happens.
They are. Yeah. And maybe they wanted that sweet author credit on their resumes or something.
Yeah, like
or that, some
you
cash.
Know, yeah. I really think people don't realize how much kids pick up and understand silently sometimes as little children. Anyway.
For sure. After saying we don't know nothing about kids.
Yeah. We know enough about kids to know we didn't want them. Bang, bang.
Others believe James himself might have picked up details from TV shows, conversations, or books that he then internalized as memory.
Yeah.
What was the year on this, Brent? Can you
remember? I don't remember, but I'll look it up here in a second.
90s?
I think so.
In or early 2000s, year. I can't remember. I've heard this story before.
Yeah, actually. This is a famous movie. Him and then this doctor.
That's coming up, yeah.
Yeah, that we're going to talk about. Oh, so he's older now. So he was actually born in 44.
Oh, my, okay. Oh, geez.
Oh, wait, maybe I'm looking at the wrong... James Leininger.
That'd be a pretty quick reincarnation. No downtime for the soul. Also, that's the title of my memoir.
I feel like it's not that old, though. I'm trying to find it. This is terrible because he was a child, so they didn't put a lot of, at the time when he was being studied, but I feel like it wasn't that old. And the book didn't come out that long ago. One second here. You're getting the nuts and bolts of true podcasting right here. Okay, so he was born April 10th, 1998. So he's there still young.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And the book came out September 11th, 2009. Never forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. That was closer to what I was.
Yeah. Well, so we got this book. We got all this stuff. We're talking about this. Inner One, Dr. Ian Stevenson. So he's a psychiatrist from the University of Virginia.
Even Ian Stevenson.
The good doctor extensively researched reincarnation cases, including... meaning involving children who remembered past lives. That's kind of the bread and butter with a lot of it. And he did a lot with James' case. And while his case is among the most famous due to media attention because of his parents kind of put it out there and they wrote the book and they let the doctor talk about it. So that's why you've probably heard of it. And many people, you might not even realize it, but this is the one. Dr. Stevens' work included numerous cases of various cultures, countries. It delved into theories from Hinduism and all that, each with its own set of verifiable details or intriguing stories. He picked ones that had pieces where they're like, that seems... The ones where you couldn't just explain it away, you know?
Sure.
As much as you can not explain something away... from just saying, oh, it was coincidence. So kind of wrapping that part up, while the James Leninger case, what do you want to call it, it's one of the best documented, supporting it. Like all these cases, it's all up to your interpretation, your opinion. You know, this doctor can't verify its authenticity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they can say, wow, that's spooky and it's worth looking into. And so, I don't know, there's the big thought of this, and I think it's, you know, it doesn't matter what religion or lack of religion are, is what happens when we die. And, you know, just a light topic to tackle at the table during Thanksgiving or with strangers at a bar, you know, just, you know, normal stuff, that and politics. No one, but most people don't want to think that when they die, that's it. You know, it's just dirt nap. I think most people want something more. You know, that there's many options out there to choose from or believe in, you know, of what might happen. And I think reincarnation is one that seems eloquent to many when it's not their religion, like Hinduism, like a do-over, another chance. It's just a different time. It's almost an intoxicating idea. And remember, many ancient civilizations, the Greeks, the Celts, indigenous tribe, they believed in some form of reincarnation or the cyclical return of the souls. And in Hinduism, specifically, they believe in the Atman, or the soul which is reborn multiple times as it seeks moksha, or liberation from the cycle. Please, God, please let this end. Then your Abrahamic religions like Christianity, Islam, Judaism, they traditionally don't accept reincarnation, emphasizing a linear progression of the soul.
Yeah.
Well, then you got the other side. Advocates argue reincarnation provides a framework for cosmic justice. Souls get multiple chances to rectify their mistakes. I guess it's like allowing for a morally balanced universe. And as we all know, energy cannot be created or destroyed. So a lot of people in this argue that the soul too continues to exist, manifesting in different forms. There's, you know, methodological flaws. You know, this is just the fabric of space, everything out there, like this whole idea of Carl Jung's idea of a collective consciousness, right? Some people say that's explained past life memories is like they're just memories that are in the ether because we all can tap into them. And it's not right. Really a reincarnation. Some people say it couldn't be reincarnation because if you keep coming back, why does the Earth's population ebb and flow? Well, I guess maybe some people go through this, finish their cycle, but you know, where are all those extra souls going? It was just interesting reading so many of the things that people say are against it. What do you think? Yeah. Where's your head at in that?
I would rather believe that it's some kind of computer simulation and coding that keeps reappearing than like a soul that keeps inhabiting a body.
Our universe was the Friday at 3 o'clock universe that they put out. I'm like, crap, just put it out. It's fine.
Oh yeah. I think it's a nice human idea.
Yeah.
To think that there's cosmic justice.
Cosmic, next up on TNT, Cosmic Justice.
Right after Burn Notice.
But, the USS Cosmic Justice.
There you go. it's at the same time, it doesn't make me think that it's impossible for a personality imprint, for lack of a better word, to reappear.
Like
you have billions of people.
Like there's only so many, you know, ways to slice a pizza. You know, and every once in a while you're gonna.
You know, it depends on nature versus nurture and stuff like that too. And It's the biggest sticking point is what you said, that people are saying, well, then why are there so many people? You know, there are more people now than there were. So does that mean it's the same kind of personality imprint that's going on, like, millions of people right. out there? And there's just slight variations depending on nature and nurture kind of thing? Or are we all the same consciousness? And
the collective right. unconscious consciousness, you know?
And we're all just experiencing things. Boy, it's getting real frou-frou right now, but you know, this is a thought that has been tossed out there. You know, it's all just one consciousness. We're all sharing it, and we're all different just because different place, different time.
Yeah,
we experience, you know, different things. So that's what makes different personality. But at the same time, there's infinite possibilities of how someone could experience things and have a personality. So to have something happen after we die, it would be more along the lines, to me, of, and this is just opinion, of an energy signature
mm-hmm.
that goes back into the pool of energy that's out there, you know, to draw from. And I right. don't even think that.
But then really why does that energy stay together? Wouldn't it mesh with everything? Or is that part of that you know, collective consciousness, or, you know what I mean?
Could, but when you die, the electricity stops.
Yeah.
We can say it transfers. But way, like it comes out as heat, and there's a couple things that happen when you die like that, and they say it's released through heat dissipation.
Yeah, yeah. There's like you lose like a few like micrograms of weight at death. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I just don't feel like that's a soul that or some kind of personal energy that goes back into some driving force or collective force. I just don't think that would be how it works, because we're just meat and water and electricity, and we are.
Because I like to think of myself as twisted steel and sex appeal, but whatever. I mean, you do you.
I get it, but however it works, the the energy manifests in our own selves. I just don't think there's anything going on afterwards.
Yeah,
I think it just stops. It's a light that goes out.
Yeah. Little do you know, when you wake up and you're in a baby, you're like, fuck.
Now that's the thing though. Like, I think it'd be cool, but at the same time,
yeah,
how do you hang on to it? You know?
Yeah. I think it'd be cool if you knew, not if I had to do it again and not know.
I mean, people would be too powerful. I mean, yeah. you imagine carrying all those memories throughout lives.
Right.
And all the things you would know and learn and retain.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what, really cool. Thank you. I mean, it's a hard thing to even try to figure out.
You guys want to know my opinion?
No, we don't. Again.
Shut the fuck up. Get out of here, jump back. Fucking shut up. To the pick deck.
Oh, fucking twice in one episode.
Get under there.
I'm embarrassed for him. Jesus Christ. We'd love to know what you guys think, though. As long as your name isn't Joe Peck, we'd love to have you on the show. You can tell us many, many, many ways. Hop on Facebook, go to Hysteria Nation. X to us, which I'm kind of giving up on because I'm so over the... Anyway, at Hysteria 51 Pod. I don't know what you say. Tweet.
Oh,
you, X. X me. I don't know. Facebook.com/Hysteria51 Pod. That's our regular Facebook page. Patreon. You can find us on there and get extra episodes, Up All Nights, Mad Blur Series, radio dramas, lots of fun, silly photos. Leave us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And we're getting ready to go into another season. And so that means we'll be doing another voicemail episode sooner than later. So Remember to get those in. Yeah, where's that? Here we go. I mean, it's just, it's perfect. It's beautiful. And hysteria51.com, you can find all this, including a microphone link. Click it and you can do your own rendition and impersonation of that. Whatever you want to do. Just make yourself happy. Tell a friend. Tell an enemy. Tell a coworker. Tell Joe Peck to go fuck himself. All right, kids. We'll see you next time. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.